Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.
The Volume.
Yo, what's going on, y'all? And welcome in to a special episode of Snaps, as this is a big one, folks. As I get my windows in order here, hope you're all having a wonderful day. I am T-Bob Hebert. He is Aaron Murray, and this is Snaps, a college football podcast. Produced and hosted and put together by The Volume, Papa Colin Cowherd's podcast network, which, of course, you can find great shows like Club Shay Shay and all, you know, Nightcap and all the other excellent Shannon Sharp content, everything else they got going on there now. I say a very special show because, in case you missed it, this will be our final Snaps episode under the Volume banner. Now, we told you the other day, okay, it's like the old Wolf of Wall Street meme. We ain't going anywhere, okay? Snaps will continue. In fact, we won't even be taking a break. We will still be going live next Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. And maybe we even adjust the schedule even more based on how we want to do it. But we are no longer going to be partnered with the Volume. So today, we're going to look back on the last couple of years, because what a fantastic time it has been. A lot of good memories, met a ton of great people. As I said the other day, literal life-changing experience for me personally, certainly being here with the Volume. And we'll talk about what comes next and kind of what to expect if you enjoy the show and ways that you can help us out. So what up, Will, Ben, Goat Dog, George, Emerald Lions? What's happening, everybody? Look at Emerald Lions. Let's go, Snaps. Best, most entertaining pod in college football. We love you, Emerald. Thank you. Hit the like button. Share it with your friends. Aaron, what's up, man? Master's Day for you, dude. How are you feeling?
Dude, I'm feeling so good. I wish I was... I wish I was in Augusta. Damn it, Georgia, for putting your spring game on Masters weekend. But somewhat kidding. But I'm very happy to be calling Georgia.
I mean, no, you're not kidding. So don't
I'm happy to be calling.
Being a little bitch again about it.
Calm down. I'm happy to be calling the game. I'm just not happy that it's on the same weekend.
Are you? Has anyone? I mean, you did seem actually very genuinely excited to call the LSU spring game last year.
I did. Well, I got to see you. Got to go get some Mexican, some margaritas.
Was one of the worst pictures Gussie's. I've ever taken in my life. My titties were popping in that white shirt that I took with you and Jake. That made me I think actually like a day or two after that was when I was like, I should start like fasting.
Working out.
Maybe. Not working out, bitch. Okay. I already was working out, but I did that picture of my titties did cause me to tighten up the diet a little bit, which is, you know, that's you have to have those low moments to inspire change. Sorry, now what were you saying about Dusty?
Dusty's going to be on the call. There's FYI. He may be hitting you up. So,
okay, cool.
For LSU.
Oh,
but
nice.
No. I like spring games are fun because it's relaxing. And every spring game that I've called, I've been given access to be on the field.
Yeah.
So like behind the quarterback. So like I'm literally, you know, because you know the head coach is usually hovering somewhere around 10 yards behind.
Yeah.
So I get to hang out with the coach, do a little bit of interview, watch it. So it feels, the adrenaline's a little bit more spiked up, kind of seeing the view from behind the quarterback in, which I enjoy doing. So
that's true.
I like that aspect of it. It's a little bit more relaxed. You get to know, you know, get to kind of hang out with the guys a little bit more. So I enjoy it. Once again, just wish it was not on a time when I'd be, you know, either in Augusta or sitting on my couch drinking a beer watching the Masters.
Oh, this is pretty cool. Look at Maroney Lane Music in the chat. I was out of town playing music with Emerald Alliance at an Eclipse Music Festival. Had no service. Back at it, Snaps. What's up? That's cool, dude. So the Snaps community form relationships within. Send me y'all's music. I'd love to listen. I mean, you think you're pissed, Aaron. We always talk about how just brutally awful it would be to be a college football coach, maybe especially an assistant. Mm-hmm. Although you're going to make way more money than everybody, it's like, can you enjoy the money? Being an assistant at Georgia, I would imagine, basically guarantees you can get access to the Masters if you want. Mm-hmm. And so you are quite literally losing one of your biggest perks for a day that, to be honest, you probably don't really give a fuck about.
Mm-mm.
Like you, no. The practices in the game have meant way more to you than does the spring game itself. And now, even though you're grinding film 24/7, mm-hmm. you're calling 1,800 high school kids a week. You just want one weekend where you can take advantage of your status, and it's ruined by having to go between the hedges.
Dude, my boy Bobo, and this is rumors. Bobo did not tell me this, but I did hear from some people that he was going to go to Berkman's on Sunday, and that doesn't seem like it's going to be happening because he's going to be entertaining high school kids. But let me pose this. Do any coaches like the spring game, or is it just, to me, I've always thought of as it is for the fans. This is an opportunity for the fans to get in the stadium, get a peek at players, some of the mid-year enrollees, maybe see a couple, you know, freshmen that redshirted the year before. But from like a coaching standpoint and from a player standpoint, the only thing I was thinking about was like, can we just get in, get out, stay healthy, and then Saturday night post spring is like a big party. Like we're about to have some fun now.
Yeah, well, and it's one of those things where because ironically, it because it is so public, you can't actually do the work that you want to do, right? Like mm-hmm. It's a situation where you don't want to show anything because it's off season preparation. Like maybe you have a player or a package, or you're leaning into a new system that you really like. You're not going to see any of that come Saturday. You're going to see very basic formations defensively, very basic calls offensively. Now, I will say this. You can glean info on an individual standpoint, right?
Yes.
Yep. And it's not always the most accurate because some guys will fall off as it gets mentally more complicated. But like if you have a guy and he's just out there and just a base pass rush situation and he's dominating the tackle, well, that's a pass rusher. Maybe you can start to get a bit excited about. If you're a running back and you take a power like 60, 70, 80 yards, that's going to make you excited. Your receiver, your big one-handed catch in the corner of the end zone. Like these are all still well-earned plays. And because there are fans in the stands, players are going hard. It's just that the coaches aren't necessarily trying to manipulate the situation as much to put you in a position to succeed as you would in a true game day. Like I remember for me trying to become a starter, it would have been my redshirt sophomore year. Redshirt freshman year, spring of redshirt freshman, going into redshirt sophomore. That spring game actually ended up giving me a ton of confidence because we dialed back all the mental stuff. It was easier to make the calls, and I played very well. And I carried that forward into fall with me. And talking to my coaches after the fact, it actually did help inspire confidence in them as well that I maybe could be a legitimate starter for that team.
Well, it's not a game day atmosphere. Like let's be real. Like it's not, you know, for Athens or LSU this weekend, there's not 90 to 100,000 people in the stadiums for these games. Sometimes you get that. You know, we've seen Alabama do that. We've seen Georgia do that. Like we've seen certain universities really pack out a stadium for a spring game, but it's still more than what you get on average practice. You're playing in your stadium in front of your fans. And I guess it does give you somewhat of a gauge of who is what I always like to call a BP player, a batting practice player, a guy that goes out there and does really well at BP and hits it, you know, home run after home run, home run. But you put him in a game-like situation, he can't hit the curveball.
Yeah.
Guys react differently in a game situation than they do practice. Lights are on and there's fans in the stands and mom and dad are there and your girlfriend's there and you're trying to maybe impress or do too much or your butt gets a little bit puckered up compared to normal practice.
No doubt.
How do you react? This is a closer situation than a normal practice to that. So you do get a little bit of a feel like who can truly show out and who are the true performers that do take their game to another level in front of the fans.
Yeah. And you, look at this sweet chess.com shirt I got, by the way, dude. And you, you also, it's the little things too, right? Like you said, you're in the stadium. And I remember for me, it was the first time where I had ever played football where I could look up at the Jumbotron and like see the replay of the play and be like, oh shit, look at that. Like I just did that. Or, ooh, that could have been better. And so there are little fun quirks, but again, it's something kind of world changing, but there is some value there. It's maybe just in light of having to skip the Masters, that value feels a little less than. I think Alabama, is Alabama going to put 90K in? I mean, don't they normally? I don't know. I mean, under Kalen DeBoer, I would imagine.
Do you think fans are excited for the spring game in Alabama?
I mean, they already pack out a day generally, don't they? Like LSU fans never win. I've always feel like it was maybe like 15 to 20K, if that.
LSU last year was only one side of the stadium lower bowl that they sat people in, correct?
Yeah, that's what I'm. That's what I'm saying. It's not. Yeah. It's not very big. Generally, there's like baseball going on that people want to go to, and just other spring sports that people are into.
But I mean, that's a good question. Like, do you think Alabama fans are they excited for the change, or are they kind of already mentally preparing themselves for a possible drop this upcoming season? So you may not see the enthusiasm in Tuscaloosa for the game.
No, I already think that Alabama fans are masturbatory about their spring game attendance. Like they love being like, we fucking pack it out because we give a damn, right? Yeah. And so when you combine that with a coaching change, I expect it to be pretty damn full, if not completely full. I feel like that's something that they kind of hang their hat on, if you will. Fox is televising the Ohio State spring game. And look, you know, the TV partners love getting a little excuse to talk about football and put football on the TV. And it's where's this other question I wanted to get to? Do you think spring ball games are worth it to go to as a fan? Was thinking about driving to Happy Valley on Saturday, but I'm on the fence, about an hour and a half drive. Will, I got to be honest. I don't know that I would do an hour and a half drive unless you just want to go to campus and make a day of it and you have other stuff you want to do. Maybe you want to go to a good restaurant.
Yes.
You bring the kids, like great for the kids because it's going to be way more chill so they can run around and they're not really always going to discern like what's a real game. What's not.
Yeah. You're not. I agree. Like, I think it's a good family day. So if you do have kids or you want to go relax or say you went to that university, I mean, hell in the South, the weather's going to be perfect. It's going to be 70, 80 degrees, sunny. It's like to be in Athens or in Tuscaloosa or, you know, Baton Rouge or any of these other schools in the Southeast that have their spring games this weekend. You get great weather. You get to walk around campus, go downtown, get some food, hang out, and you get to go watch a game where you're not fucking stressed.
Yeah, you know? That's true. That's true.
You just want to walk in the stadium and say like, yeah, just enjoy football without worrying about any sort of consequence.
Yeah, so just watch the pigskin fly around a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's great.
See, but the thing is, too, though, to be clear, like Athens is one of the cooler towns to go to. Like that might be worth an hour long drive just because you want to go hang out in Athens. I can't speak to Happy Valley. I don't know that I think that Baton Rouge would be worth it, but maybe I've just, you know, lived here too long. And so it's familiar to me, whereas I didn't. Like, I wouldn't drive to New Orleans for a spring game, though.
Saying from New Orleans to Baton Rouge?
I don't think I would do either. Even if the city I was going to was New Orleans, I still wouldn't go if I wasn't having to cover it for work. But yeah, better parking than Ben Collinsworth. Absolutely. Which is why I don't get the A-Day thing, because fuck me, you are not getting me to deal with 90,000 people worth of logistics to go watch a spring game. Although, again, this year with Kalen DeBoer, if there ever was a year, this would be it. Okay, there's a few different stories to get to, and then we'll get into some of our favorite moments from the past and what comes next for snaps. First off, we said it when we talked about it a couple days ago. We said it was firmly in the rumor department. We were essentially in the junior high bathroom spreading gossip, and it appears the gossip is unfounded as USC defensive tackle Bear Alexander came out yesterday and said he is not transferring and that he is looking forward to winning a national championship at USC. So sorry to LSU fans and all those other defensive tackle hungry fan bases out there. Bear Alexander, not going to be an option.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, especially for LSU, who really, really, really needed him to hit the market. There'll be plenty of other guys that do hit the market. I think this was, it was an interesting move because I don't think either of us are high on USC this year. I don't think either of us think that USC is a true contender in the Big Ten. And we saw the win-loss total. I think we showed the graphic the other day. They're like, what, around that 7-8 mark?
Yeah, they're right. Yeah. They're like 6.7 or 6.9. Yeah, not great. They're right under 7.
So like, I don't know what his true motives are. Is his motives NIL? Was there maybe some more dollars that he was trying to get out of USC to, or the collective or whoever there to keep him there? Like, was that the main goal? Because if it was to win a championship, I think he kind of knows that that's a long shot there at Southern Cal, but there's also the
it's messaging. Also a long shot at LSU. It's a long shot at Tech. I mean,
yeah, but it's a lot closer at LSU than it is at there. Or you go to Ole Miss. You could go somewhere, and not, which I know you're just wanting LSU, but you could go somewhere and put yourself up for an opportunity to not only make money,
that's true,
but to win a championship. But I do think from an overall narrative standpoint, this is a kid that transferred multiple times in high school, I believe. That already transferred once in college. Transfer again.
This would have been his next level. This would have been his seventh transfer in 7 years had he actually transferred.
I don't think that narrative sits well in the NFL. Just going to throw it out there.
A lot of people saying that this is just a play to in the chat right now. This is just a play to get more money. Yeah, cynically, I wouldn't doubt that. Also, the rumors were never uber concrete, right? Like maybe some displeasure was voiced and then it kind of spun out of control. Like I'm not 1000% convinced that he got more money or that he did this just for more money. Although I'm not naive enough to say that he didn't also. So we don't know. So I guess all that does matter is the actual fact of the matter, which is Bear Alexander saying he is staying put at USC, which is big for Danton Lynn and that entire USC defensive staff as they look to try to right what was an awful defense last year. Better than LSU's, but an awful defense nonetheless.
JLab has something for everyone with earbuds and headphones that are as versatile as you are. Perfect for calls, listening to podcasts, and working out. They are built for every single moment. JLab is proud to partner with powerhouse college athletics, UCLA, Duke, Gonzaga, Indiana, St. John's, TCU, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Minnesota, San Diego State, and more. From lively tailgates to coaches' play calling and courtside rivalries to college athletics NIL deals, JLab joins the action and connects with 182 million plus college sports fans nationwide. They're excited to partner with 17 D1 college schools, showcasing their passion and loyalty of fans and athletes across the United States. Whether creating cutting-edge tech products or pursuing athletic greatness, being the best takes hard work and commitment. JLab is proud to partner with schools who are showcasing the hard work, perseverance, and even the championship celebrations across all college sports. Use code SNAPS25 for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bo Kennedy says, rest in peace to UFC legend OJ Simpson. It's very Dom Kleeman energy in terms of framing that. OJ Simpson passed away, died right before. Well, in terms of when it was announced that he passed, his family a couple of hours ago, right at the end of my morning show, putting out there that at age 76, OJ Simpson has passed away from cancer. It's weird to talk about. I was a kid during all the murder trier stuff. I remember exactly where I was when the Bronco chase was going down. I would probably be more willing to be nice to OJ or maybe give him some sort of benefit of the doubt had he not chosen to later write a book called If I Did It, that then went step by step how he would have murdered these two people he's alleged as to murder. It's like, that's pretty fucked up. Like that's pretty fucking awful. And so the jokes are indeed popping off right now in regards to OJ Simpson.
There's a handful of events that you will remember if you're kind of, you know, I would say right around our age and obviously older.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a sports fan, and this definitely being one, the White Bronco.
It does make me want to rewatch OJ Made in America. I haven't seen that in many years. Maybe the best 30 for 30 documentary there was ever made. Right there with the U, though the U dealing with much less serious top kind of subject.
Was it mostly sports, or did it mostly have to do with that the incident?
No, it's mainly about, I mean, I guess it encapsulates all of it, but it's mainly about the crime. Yeah. I mean, you obviously have his football background as the background of who he was and kind of this being this superstar, but no, it's about the crime, how you kind of lean into racial tensions as well as some other interesting strategies to get out of said crime. It's worth a watch if you have, never seen it before. Chances, well, he did a good job at Naked Gun. Yeah, you know, I mean, he was like America's spokesman for a bit there. It did give us this, though, one of the greatest Norm Macdonald jokes of all time. This is at the ESPYs back in I guess it's the late 90s, because that's to do with Charles Woodson. Hit the tape there,
and there's Charles Woodson. How about that? And what a season he had. Right, man. He became the first defensive player to win the Heisman Trophy. Congratulations, Charles. That is something that no one can ever take away from you. Unless you kill your wife and the waiter, in which case... I'll get the offense. Just a word of advice. Folks, before we can begin handing out our awards tonight...
Oh, my God.
Getting Griffey's reaction was like, oh, God.
It's even a bit funnier in the context of Reggie Bush's Heisman also being taken away, because that like that joke can be expanded to like, yeah, no, the only way it can get taken away is if you murder your wife, waiter, or you rent a home for your mother. I mean, it is, look, the Heisman Trust has let you know, and the NCAA, we're drawing a line in the sand. You cannot murder, and you cannot get affordable housing for your mother and help you out your family based off of your incredible talent and all the money you're making everybody around you. Those are the two things we just cannot have.
We draw. All right, so let's with the Manziel push coming out. with, like, you know, when we talk about if Manziel gets to keep his for blatantly telling everyone that, like, yes, I received money while I was at college, in College Station. Like, do you think Reggie gets back? Like, real talk. Like, does Reggie get the Heisman back eventually?
Zach says those are equal crimes in my eyes. does Reggie get it back? This is one of those things that it's like, it's so,
you think Dan Say would ever admit, or at least go the extra effort to do it?
We talked about it a couple of weeks ago, and I think I stand by this. I said this is objectively probably the single dumbest thing in all of sports. Mm-hmm. Even beyond, like, the steroid gatekeeping of the Baseball mm-hmm. Hall of Fame, all this sorts of shit. Like, the single dumbest thing I can fathom is Reggie Bush not having his Heisman. Not just because nobody is morally or ethically offended by him, by what he did, right? Just getting mm-hmm. maybe some benefits and whatnot. But really, because if you accept Reggie Bush's punishment as just, then you have to believe that every other Heisman winner in history never got any benefits. Never got a meal, never got a car, never got any homes, never got any of this shit. And then you have guys like Manziel actively out there talking about everything they did get. So mm-hmm. it is so fucking dumb. It's dumber than Pete Rose. It is, I think, the dumbest thing in all of sports. So I don't know how to answer, will he get it back? Because I can't fathom that he already doesn't have it back. Mm-hmm. Like that's what I can't wrap my head around.
What's more likely to happen, them going back and taking Manziel's away or them giving Reggie his back? I mean, Manziel's literally got on the show and said, I was getting paid and this is how I duped. Like, he blatantly lied.
He did an OJ. If I did. Yeah, except he's just saying, I did do it.
I do.
And here's how I did.
The whole this narrative. I mean, I remember talking about, like, oh, Manziel, he comes from money. That's why he's been able to, you know, go to Vegas and party and do this and that. Like, it's not the fact that he's getting paid. He comes from, like, this oil family money. And they're like, no, we created that fucking narrative. Like, that was not true. Not like saying he's, like, from the other side of the track. Like, he came from a good family, but, like, not that kind of money family. So he lied to you. He literally lied to the NCAA and created this false life so that he could get paid money.
In terms of what's more likely, though, I do agree with you. Or I don't agree. I think it has to be more likely that Reggie gets his Heisman back for two reasons. First, the NCAA is feckless, right? They can't enforce shit anymore, it doesn't seem like. Although this would maybe be one area in which they legally could. But also, giving Reggie his Heisman back is such a PR win. Mm-hmm. That's what I don't understand about all this. Nobody is going to be upset if you do it. Yeah. All people are going to say is, congrats. It's about damn time. Exactly. So mm-hmm. I have to fathom that he'll get it back eventually, but we will see. So OJ Simpson dead at age 76, Bear Alexander not transferring. And another random little bit here. Did you see Northwestern football? Maybe. Mm. The surprise story. We didn't talk a lot about him last year, but probably the biggest surprise in all of college football, full stop, right? I mean, Pat Fitzgerald was supposed to be that school's greatest coach ever. He was turning in garbage for the last couple of years, really three of the last 4 years, just absolute garbage. And yet when they lost him, it was still like, oh my God, that's the best coach you've had. Northwestern sucks. They're not going to be shit. They lose him because of a really hilariously weird story where the hazing was out of control. Again, I think it's so funny to think about it. If you remember the stories, one of the things they were doing called the gauntlet, and the scene put on, like, scream masks, and they would, like, beat you while you were naked. And I'm just laughing so hard because I'm thinking about, like, well, it's just like you're so tired from practice and you're like, oh, come on, guys, you know what time it is. And, like, somebody's handing you the ghost face mask and you're in upper class. And you're like, bro, I just want to go play Call of Duty. No, come on now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to beat these freshmen. Like, okay, fine. Fuck it. Put on my Freddy mask. Get the work. But no, they should have been awful. And then they went 5-4 in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And tough Big Ten. Mm-hmm. And so how does Northwestern seek to build off of this hype? They announced plans to build an unbelievable new stadium. It's going to be amazing when it's done. But we learned today that in the interim, Northwestern is going to be playing the next two football seasons in their practice facility. at their outdoor practice facility, in which they will have some sort of temporary seating. And if you look at pictures of the practice facility, Aaron, I don't know that you can get like more than like 5,000. I mean, like it like 5,000 maybe even pushing it. Like it is legitimately going to be like a big high school game for the next 2 years, going to home game at Northwestern.
It's gonna be on Lake Michigan though, so it should be nice. It should look
cool.
Good.
Setting,
good, nice.
Yeah,
great setting. How many people were they getting to the games in the first place? Like, were they really stressed about getting fans in the stands?
Well, it depends, right? If you hit, let's say, 10,000, that's kind of acceptable to me, because then that could be a pretty intimate, fun environment. I mean, yeah. To your point, that's not nobody.
Or would you play?
No, I'm saying if you get 10,000 at that field, if you get 10,000,
I'm saying where are you going to find a place, even if it wasn't on campus location, to get unless you're going to play at Soldier Stadium?
No. Sorry. What I'm saying is the practice facility, like you said, is located in a beautiful setting right there on the lake. It looks awesome. If you can get 10,000 people on that practice field, that's actually kind of tight.
But you have to build something though.
I mean, bleachers, I don't know, temporary bleachers. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure
10,000 seats for temporary bleachers.
Yeah. Right.
I think you're like fairy tale land. Like, okay, in the next 4 months, we have to build a miniature 10,000. But I guess they do it for, they do it for the damn golf tournament. I was just at there in Phoenix. Like, I thought that was all year long. They build that stadium, that mini stadium leading up to the tournament.
I believe that Northwestern, the money that they have,
they could have the built smart something people a little bit
that
more.
They have, no, that they can put up something temporary that should be able to hit a respectable. The thing is, if you hit 10,000, then it maybe becomes kind of cool because it's a beautiful environment. Yeah. It's intimate. That way it's full for whatever that's worth. But if you're talking about like 5,000 people, then that just becomes a little sad. Mm. In my opinion, but here's to hope. I mean, why am I blanking on the head coach's name? Arguably should have been coach of the year last year. Here's to hoping that he can deal with this, because this is kind of a bad break, as you would want to build off of what was a just wildly successful year run compared to what your expectations are going to be. Going to be hard to recruit to say, hey, come here for 2 years, play in this bullshit, but then after that, you will be playing in like a top.
Well, it's kind of like, it's like Vanderbilt. I mean, I had a game last year in Vanderbilt. You go to Vanderbilt Stadium, is there's construction. There's a crane holding up the Jumbotron, and then 90% of the stadium is away fans.
Yeah,
what's the worst environment to cover to host a college football player? Who's a tougher job, Northwestern's coach or Clark Lee at Vanderbilt, of hosting a recruit during this transition period within a stadium? Would you rather have Vanderbilt, which can hold more people, but 90% of it's away fans, still construction's everywhere, or Northwestern, where it's 5,000 of your own fans in like little mini bleachers?
I actually think that Northwestern is still tighter. I think, again, 5-4 in the Big Ten last year, so already just way more competitive than is Vanderbilt within their conference. And both cities are cool. Like Chicago and Nashville, I'll call that a wash. Although Chicago is kind of one of the great old school American cities, whereas Nashville is kind of like the new kid on the block. I think Northwestern, simply because they're more competitive, it's easier. It's going to be easier to recruit there.
Yeah.
And your options surrounding you are the Big Ten. It's like maybe Chicago has a lot more allure compared to some of these other Big Ten cities than does Nashville compared to some of these other SEC settings. So, you know, I'm kind of thinking about this all just live on top of my head. Somebody says, why not play at Soldier Field? See, I think that would be a mistake, because you play at Soldier Field and you put
you put
15K. That's going to feel so fucking sad.
Go play the soccer stadium. Like, go find
MLS stadium.
Yes. Which I think, like a school like Vanderbilt, which I've said this to like my boy CC Childers, who lives there. I was like, why didn't Vanderbilt just do that? Knock it down, go play at the soccer stadium for a year or two, build a similar style of soccer stadium on campus, 25,000-30,000, super intimate, on top of you. Like, for those who watched like the XFL, the the team in Washington, D.C., they play in the soccer stadium. And it's
yeah,
awesome.
They did great. Yeah, they packed it up.
Incredible environment. Yeah. Like, that's what a Northwestern should do. That's what our Vanderbilt should do. 20 to 30K on top of you. Very fun vibes. But yeah, just not doing it. That's a way you can get Vanderbilt fans, or at least the city of Nashville, on board with Vanderbilt football.
But I mean, who knows if the MLS team wants to do it, right? I mean, I'm sure they pack it out already. Like, I'm sure it's a way more successful ticket than is Vandy. Why do you want to let Vanderbilt football come fuck up your field and stuff?
Yeah, most of those are turf, though.
Do they play on turf in the MLS? I'm sorry, guys. I don't watch a ton of MLS. I really like soccer. I just don't follow any leagues. Yeah, that's right, because they play in the Mercedes-Benz. That's right. Yeah, that makes sense. Now, that was crazy. I don't know if the ATL United still are, but a few years ago when they were on that championship run and they're packing it out 73K in the stadium. Well, I mean, nobody goes to the Falcons game.
True.
Not since the Cannon left. I mean, who could forget that final 3-13 season? Now, he wasn't the starter for the majority of that, or was he? I don't remember. T-Bob always looks like he's up to something. Well, it's because generally I am. I always have something percolating in the background. Zach says St. Louis had like 45K for their UFL XFL game. Yeah, to be clear, the Battle Hawk fan base in St. Louis is awesome. And it's because they feel slighted. Also, St. Louis, despite not having a big population, they're right there with New Orleans. There's not a lot of people. I mean, in the actual city itself, I think you're looking at around like, and I'm, you know, again, I could be wrong here. I'm just coming on memory. I think you're looking at around like 500,000, maybe getting into like 1 to 2 million. If you're talking about this greater St. Louis area,
86,000.
Okay. And then give me like a greater St. Louis area.
Greater St. Louis, 2 million.
Okay. 2 million. There you go. So that is a thing where like those, you're not supposed to be able to support that many professional teams with those numbers. Mm. But I saw some the other day between like a Blues game, the UFL game and Cardinals game, they had over 200,000 fans go to sporting events in one weekend. I mean, St. Louis is sports crazy and they have latched on to the Battle Hawks. And my other QB one I do shows with, AJ McCarron, dude. You know, I mean, Aaron, where are you at, dude? Come on, bro.
He's great. T-Bob's going to just leave me for AJ.
Shepherd Ducks. Chip Kelly at Ohio State. Urban's at Oregon right now. Wait, hold on. Urban's at Oregon? What are we talking about?
What does that mean?
Belly's at Washington right now. What the fuck is going on, boys? Legendary coaches. Oh, okay. Urban must be visiting because I did see this. Did you see Bill Belichick at Washington practice the other day?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, full UW
out here. Yeah.
So he's saying Kelly at Ohio State, Urban's at Oregon now, Belichick's at Washington. What the fuck's going on? Legendary coaches at some interesting spots. Yeah, I think the Chip Kelly thing, obviously, that's like in an actual job.
Belichick's son's coaching at Washington now.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I forgot he's the DC.
Yeah.
Okay, so that makes sense why that's going down. Gotta be pretty cool if you're a Washington player though. To have Bill Belichick hang around practice, dude, the GOAT, and all the insight that you could get there. And Texas Rock says AJ greater or Aaron greater than AJ. Yeah, I agree, dude. That's my boy. That's
what. Do you think Saban's going? Obviously, he's going, but do you think he's on the field for a day up in a box somewhere, staying away?
No.
You think he's front center attention?
I think he has to go to the game. I think he has to go to the game.
I'm saying he'd go to the game, but do you think he's on the field or do you think he's in a box?
No. He's in a box.
Okay.
He's in a suite for sure.
I would hope he would do that too, just to like get the attention off of him. Let the game happen.
Bro,
he's on the field, all attention.
It is a psychopath move if Nick Saban is on the field for the Alabama spring game. Like
on
that,
the sideline, 1,000 on the sideline.
No, yes, no, exactly. That one, that is the field. That 1,000% did not happen.
He'll be in the booth.
I think
he'll be in the booth for most of it.
As Nick Saban joins College Game Day and looks to transition a bit, he has to be a little careful with how involved he's going to be with Alabama on the day to day.
Do you think also like
what?
Do you think fans? I think people at least I do. Like, I respect Saban so much. Like, if he wants to be a little bit biased to fucking Alabama, like, I could care less.
I think you probably look. Let me think about how I would answer this.
I truly could care less if Nick Saban is on game day every weekend picking Alabama to win every time they go around the horn.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, it is to be expected. Yeah. It is to be a bit expected there. I'm
not going to trash the man for that. Dude's one of the probably the smartest coaches ever coached the game before.
No, I know. But I still think, though, if you're going to be talking about all of college football as a whole, you can't be like actively consulting Alabama.
He has
like
an office in the stadium.
Herbie loves Ohio State. He's not actively consulting Ohio State.
Yeah,
all the time.
But he doesn't have the same. Was Herbie, like, I don't know the stats. Like,
yeah, no, he definitely doesn't have the connection that Saban has. Yeah.
Yeah. Was the greatest coach of all time.
Also, do think that Saban, I kind of agree with Texas Rocks. I do think that Saban's personality is such that I could see him being like almost wanting to actively fight against people saying,
like, when
fired,
Georgia
right?
faces Alabama in week four, is he picking Georgia or is he picking Alabama?
I mean, he can't pick Georgia, right? There's no way. There's no way. If he picked Georgia,
but I mean, if you're gonna say it like it is, I think we can all agree. I mean, we'll see.
We agree here? Do you want to play this game again?
I know.
It happened last year when y'all tried this.
Simmer down. Let me just say this. Let's just say for 3 weeks of the season, Georgia's kicking everyone's ass. They kick Clemson's ass. They look amazing. Carson looks like the first quarterback taking the NFL draft. Perfect. Flawless. Alabama comes out and it's just not really clicking in the first three games. Is he picking Bama or is he picking Georgia in week four?
I think he's still got to go Bama there, dude.
See, so how
PG says unless he goes full heel turn. Yeah, no, to be fair. I mean, but like Zach says, I think Saban will be a little biased, no more than Dez Howard, though. Like, yeah, like Dez Howard's hard. Yeah. Bro, when LSU was on that 2019 run, you had Ryan Clark, Marcus Spears. I mean, the entire LSU media conglomerate was constantly like, fuck you, Joe Burrow, go Tigers, y'all suck.
When it comes to broadcasters, not going, you know, putting the fan hat on too much. There's certain people that have to be kind of create that separation from their university, you know, because they have to build that credibility up in the media space. Like, hey, I'm not a homer at my university. I truly am for the whatever. Saban does not have to do that. Saban is different. He's unique. He's a unicorn. Saban can be wearing a damn Alabama pin on his suit on college game day. I don't give a damn. He's the greatest college coach of all time. And he coached Alabama and won six national championships there. He can do what he wants because he's going to give incredible information for 2 hours and 45 minutes on that show. And then if he wants to pick Alabama at the end of it, so be it. I don't care.
Ben Collier says, kind of suspicious ESPN took the LSU guys off college coverage after 19. Well, they actually didn't, right? I mean, Spears got upgraded to NFL Live, which is a way bigger gig. Ryan Clark became one of the main everything guys for ESPN, and Booger actually got put on college after 2019, right? Like that's what Booger does now is the college.
It is a halftime.
Now, this would be the true LSU wet dream would be if Saban would pick LSU over Bama. Mm-hmm. You want to heal the pain of the past for all the Tiger fans that felt so betrayed when he left for Miami and then said he would not be the coach at Alabama. That would be so deeply, it'd be funny in a lot of ways, but yeah, I think a lot of LSU fans would be so
the first time he doesn't pick Bama.
I mean, you can't talk shit about him, right?
No.
Royal Payne says, I bet he isn't on set for the picks at all year one. Well, then what are we doing? Saban better be picking these games.
He better be picking.
Like, otherwise, what are we doing, dude? Nick says, I can't take game day seriously after a bunch of those fucks picked Iowa over Michigan last year. Well, didn't Iowa kind of almost beat Michigan? I mean, maybe almost beat is tough because they never really had a chance to score
50.
But the score wasn't crazy.
No, but they never had an opportunity. They never had a legit chance to score points.
Yeah. I mean, look, as somebody who played in a game where we didn't cross the 50, it's not a good feeling. Not quite as close as the final score looked. Goat Dog says if Saban ever picks against Bama and wins, they're tearing that statue down. Bama flags at half mast. No way, dude. There's no way they're ever tearing that down.
JLab has something for everyone with earbuds and headphones that are as versatile as you are. Perfect for calls, listening to podcasts, and working out. They are built for every single moment. JLab is proud to partner with powerhouse college athletics. UCLA, Duke, Gonzaga, Indiana, St. John's, TCU, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Minnesota, San Diego State, and more. From lively tailgates to coaches' play calling and courtside rivalries to college athletics NIL deals, JLab joins the action and connects with 182 million plus college sports fans nationwide. They're excited to partner with 17 D1 college schools, showcasing their passion and loyalty of fans and athletes across the United States. Whether creating cutting-edge tech products or pursuing athletic greatness, being the best takes hard work and commitment. JLab is proud to partner with schools who are showcasing the hard work, perseverance, and even the championship celebrations across all college sports. Use code SNAPS25 for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
You ever get the feeling the city walls closing in, the concrete jungle suffocating your soul? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to connect with nature, maybe chase some elk, fish a private stream. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there, and finding your own piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, location, the kind of hunting or fishing you dream of. Land.com. It's where the adventure begins.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying, tears, crying. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Let's get into some of our favorite snaps memories. And then, we've been going for 40 minutes already. Sheesh. And then, just so much fun, guys. And then we'll talk about what's next. Aaron, to reminisce on the past, I don't think you understand how nervous I was for the first show that we did here. Not even the first live show, the first test show in which the producers and everybody that put together the show was going to be watching. And I get the feeling from you that you have this irrational self-confidence, this QB1 attitude. I don't get a lot of imposter syndrome from you. I deal with a lot of that. And I was so nervous. I felt like I was going to have an anxiety attack. I remember feeling like my heart was going to pound through my chest. Mm. I think I drank like two or three beers before the show just to take the edge off so I wouldn't be in my head causing myself to have a panic attack. Did you have any such feelings for our first?
Never any sense of nerves. But I will say this, because I've always been very buttoned up on shows. And as you know, if you're listening to this, we keep it loose. We keep it fun as possible. The first time where I was like, have we gone too far? And I always tell people this story when they ask me, like, how's it working with T-Bob? When I always get the question, like, how is it working with T-Bob? Like, what's it like? I'm like, well, and I tell this story. This was post-vasectomy. When someone came on the chat and was like, you know, like, why are you so happy that you're, you know, you got your nuts chopped off? And T-Bob, you go, well, because he can fucking come in his wife whenever he wants and doesn't have to care anymore. And I'm just like, once that line was kind of crossed, I was like, there ain't no coming back. Of like, we may be kicked off YouTube today. Like, I was waiting for like YouTube to ban us get some notification, or from like Colin, like, hey guys, like, I like the looseness, but like, we can't be talking about coming in our wives over here without some sort of repercussion. So, but we never got in trouble. So I was like, all right, here we go.
It is honest, though. It is honest. What's the only, why do you get a vasectomy? So you can nut in your wife. Yeah. I mean, I'm just telling it like it is. Rojo says, why would T-Bob be so nervous? Isn't he on the radio? Yeah, I mean, that's what's crazy, right? Like, I'm on the radio to, you know, objectively, well, I don't know once you get into download numbers, but a live audience, it's way bigger than what we deal with here. But, and I love y'all though, by the way, we're going to be talking about how to continue to grow. But that this was kind of, and this is why I'm so thankful to The Volume and Logan Swaim and Colin Cowherd and Brumley and PG and Chris Tran, everybody else, the whole team, is that for me, this was kind of my first big career break. This was the first time in which
National than local.
Yes. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Right. Like, I've been doing local radio since I've been doing a daily local radio show since I was 23 years old because I got a job that I did not deserve. Thanks to who my dad is. And so I'm a Nepo baby. Right. And everybody's like, well, you're, you know, they always, but again, impostors, when people are always like, oh man, you're really good. Like one day you're gonna make it and you're gonna do this or that. And like, I don't know. I was just like, and even now I don't really care about making it. What I want to do is make money to support my three kids and my family. Like, that's all I give a fuck about. Yeah. But I love this show and I have so much fun doing the show, but I was so nervous because I felt like this was the first time somebody bet on me and I didn't want to blow it. And I've had a lot of different partners at this point. Chemistry is a weird thing and it normally takes a very long time to develop. And I didn't know what to expect out of Aaron, right? Is this going to be like your cool quarterback or your douchey quarterback? Again, like I've said on the show many times, my one thing I knew about Aaron was that he had fucked one of my best friend's girls in college that my good friend was in love with. And this is not a man who fell in love ever. And so I did not know what to expect. And I was, so pleasantly happy and surprised at how cool Aaron is. Definitely not one of the douchey quarterbacks. And instant chemistry.
Yes, man. No, definitely instant chemistry. And I do remember when we were kind of figuring out the show, the question was brought up like, oh, who's gonna lead? And I was like, oh, lead, you know, fucking let's go QB1 status, I got this. And every day I am very grateful that I am not leading the show because you do such a good job at it. So
well, look, and that was one thing that we were sitting down and talking about the show. That was one thing that I was like, that's one thing I told The Volume was that's what I want to do. Because I mean, I host a radio show every fucking day. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, it's like, okay, shout out chess.com. Right. I just did that broadcast for them. And that I was kind of playing color. And then after the fact in our post show meetings, they were like, maybe next time we're going to have you host. Because like the chess guys, they got hosting. Awesome guys, incredible chess knowledge, way beyond anything I have. But if you need me to get you in and out of breaks, I mean, I fucking got you, fam. Now, granted, it will, you know, you're also going to give me control to having conversations about coming in your wife or the other day on Hard Factor.
The last 5 minutes when we start some bullshit. Yeah.
I saw a story about a couple whose home was raided. They were supposed to be like a really nice, normal family couple. And then their home was raided because the husband got caught following kids around in a store and jerking off. Real piece of shit. And then on the dude's phone, they found a bunch of videos of his wife fucking the family's Great Dane. Is there more? Yes.
She was filming it.
Yeah, he was filming it. And there were multiple videos. Like, they did this a lot.
How do you get a dog to fuck someone?
That's one of those things I've just taken for granted. Right? Like, I understand.
It's like a horse porn. Like, how does the animal get that aroused for something that's not their own?
It's a great question, because like I understand the old peanut butter thing from high school, right?
Yeah.
Where you slather yourself in peanut butter and the dog's gonna lick it off, right? I don't know, Aaron. I just always took it for granted that it's a dog. Of course they're gonna want to have sex with the person, but no, I don't understand how they know what's going on.
Your Great Dane just want to have sex with you.
Do we really just want to send this show off on the degenerate top? And I mean, no. I guess you have to kind of
far. I'll just,
I guess you have
just
to
in my head.
You have to kind of jerk off the dog first, like to warm it up. You have to play fluffer for the dog. Anyway.
So, like, how do we
that's the risk you run, though. If you're going to let me host, that's the risk you run, is running shit like that.
So I would say it is, what is today? Today is April 11th. Football season is 4 months away. Yep. I would love to see us get to like 25, 30 by end of next season. I think we could do it.
I think so too. I think so too. I think we had incredible momentum as now chat just make me laugh. I think we had incredible momentum at the end of the year. The off season's been a bit of a slog, but shout out to y'all. We hit the 15K number. It's everywhere. I'm even feeling it. I'm feeling all my shows right now. It's getting me down a little bit, but it's all good. It is what it is.
What's harder to get to, the first 15 or the next 15, you think?
I think there is an inflection point where you start to grow and it kind of tips over. So I don't know if it's the first 15 or the next 15, but I do think at a certain point you garner a number that when people see it, you're like, oh, this is like a legitimate show. And so they're more willing to subscribe, right? Yeah. Like if somebody has 100,000 subscribers, you're probably going to be more willing to click subscribe on that than if they have two. Mm-hmm. So we are slowly but surely trying to climb that mountain. But yeah, 25 to 30K would be awesome. I think doable. Again, I think we've got some very exciting plans for maybe working in some game streaming specifically. I want to run a lot of online 2v2s, Aaron. Mm-hmm. Me and you teaming up online.
Let's go.
Sports 25, which we had some news on. Let me bring that up and we can maybe touch on it. But yeah, so I think that's a good goal. And as terms of what's next, we're not going to stop the show.
100K is the next, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. But we are not going to, we're not going to stop the show. I mean, our plans are to go straight into next week, you know, we just got to figure out all the technical stuff. And we're in the process of that right now. I think production values may change in the short term. Maybe be a bit patient with us on the timing of getting stuff up as we do. Then again, it's the off season. So it's kind of the time to do this. And we are shopping it around, to be clear as well. So we may end up under another company or banner at some point, or maybe we don't, right? Either ways, we're going to, either way, we ain't going anywhere.
No.
And I'm very excited because I believe in this show and it's the most fun that I have. And really the best part about this has been to me, and you see a lot of online creators saying this, and it makes sense though, because it's intimate, but the best part about this has been the community.
Yeah.
Anytime somebody tells me somewhere random that they love snaps, it's made me so happy. I'll never forget the day after Selection Sunday, a few months back or the day of Selection Sunday, when is Florida State going to make it or they're not? I'm driving to Disney. I stop at a Buc-ee's and the fucking manager of Buc-ee's comes up to me. And he's like, dude, what's up? I was like, yeah, man, what's going on? He's like, oh, I fucking love snaps. He's like, I'm a huge Florida State fan. You think we make it? And I'm like, fuck yeah, y'all are going to make it. It'd be a high crime if you don't make it. If this selection committee doesn't choose you, college football's broken, blah, 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 all this other stuff. And then I always think about my guy, and I hope you're still listening out there, because not an hour later, it came up on the screen that Alabama had made it and Florida State was left out. But that was just such a cool moment as fresh brisket was on the board, hearing the manager stop me as a Florida State fan and be like, dude, I'm a massive Snaps fan. Like that made me so happy.
No, I agree. Like the community is awesome. Hell, I got that. Remember the one time I was out golfing. It was at where we play golf and some old guy came up to me. He's like fucking like in his 80s. And he's like, dude, I love watching you and that crazy motherfucker every day.
Hell yeah.
This dude watches us. He's like, yeah, my daughter or son showed me YouTube and now I watch you guys every single day. I was like, hell yeah. We've got like dudes in their 80s out here watching us and just made me crack up. So yes, we will keep it live. I think someone in the chat said, Thomas said, whatever y'all do, keep it live. Like that is, to me, that is one of the most special parts is interacting with everyone each and every day, seeing the community grow. So that was the special part about, you know, moving from the Volume channel, which was great, to obviously this was T-Bob's doing of really pushing, like, we need our own channel. We need our own channel. Having our own channel to build our own audience that is our audience, not the Volume's audience, I think has set us up to really continue to run pretty hard. Over the
yeah, that's maybe years. Only one of my only regrets about the entire situation is if we could have moved on that faster, mm-hmm. where could we have been, right? Because, and that's just a function of all of us being out here in this new
yep.
algorithmic age in which we live, not fully understanding how all this works, where it's like, yeah, the volume has 500,000 subscribers, but they're there for NBA.
NFL
or Collinsworth or NFL. They're not necessarily there for college football, which is a bit more of a niche type of situation. Anyway. So whatever, better late than never, right? I don't care. Yeah. We're going to live in the present. And I'm yeah. super excited about it. I think about it. Look, we've had a couple of births, right? Our original producer, Ryan Brumley, had a little baby boy in the midst of doing the show. I had a child in just awful timing. We had an LSU Georgia SEC championship in which we could have done all kind of live shows in Athens, in Atlanta. And yet I was in the hospital witnessing the birth of my child. It was great though. I'll never forget it. Watching USC get rocked by Utah and being pissed about it because I was a big Utah fan. And so we're going to keep live shows and we'll continue to, we're going to try to continue to put up shorts. Yep. Every day, breakout clips of the individual segments, because what the analytics show us are y'all, the live watchers are very loyal, very awesome, stick around a very long time, but the growth is actually coming from those shorts. Individual videos and the shorts and stuff. So we're going to keep
on everyone. Like, I know we've talked about doing the gaming, you know, is that something we're going to do in the NCAA? The game comes out is do live gaming, 2v2, all that good stuff. Have some fun playing the games, talking shop, talking game, you know, talking college football. But like, what do you guys want from us too? Like this, one thing, this is a community. Like if there are certain things that we could possibly do or talk about, especially this summer when things are a little bit, you know, stale, this is our time to really experiment before football season starts. So please let us know.
Do you have a show? I mean, both of us getting vasectomies, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you should email Snaps CFB. That's going to be the new name of the show if we can get it. We're going to change it after today. Snaps CFB for all of your for any thoughts that you have on what the show could be, where could we go, good ideas that you'd want to see. We'll have access to all of that. Royal Paints is movie/TV show, live chat, et cetera. Now, if we ever did end up going like fully independent, like Patreon route, I think that could be some interesting stuff. Maybe some outside of football discussion. It gets a little weird again with the algorithm about muddying up the waters, going too much outside of college football. Now, maybe once the channel gets bigger, we can start to explore some more of that, but we'll see. But yeah, do you have a favorite show that stands out to you, Aaron?
What do you mean?
Like that we did over these past 2 years. I got a couple. Post Colorado TCU was electric.
When I almost missed my game, you know, I mean, I was literally sweating my balls off. Like, when is this game going to end? Because I actually have to go call a game. And then, you know, you and I ended up having an incredible live stream after that Colorado win. Was it versus Nebraska? Was that a game?
No, it was TCU.
Or TCU.
TCU, Colorado.
Yeah, where I literally showed up to my game. Hopefully ESPN's not watching this like an hour before kickoff. Sharon had to drive me and drop me off. And then she like got stuck in crazy traffic and was like driving my truck, which she freaking hates driving my truck. So I was stressing about her driving my truck through Athens in traffic while also getting to my game. All for snaps.
Shout out to PG's mentioning the live show we did at Walk-Ons a couple of years ago. It was very interestingly timed because it was right at the beginning of the show, and so not that many people knew about it. We had some people show up, and then we had a lot of people that were just there hanging out and got to see Snaps live. That was a lot of fun. Del Rice says to go back and look at T-Bob's rant on Georgia and Bama fans after the Natty. You know, sometimes you got to put them in their place. I think the Ohio State Michigan shows were always very fun as well. For me personally, the show when we had Colin on after national championship, though, you know, kind of wish Papa would have come on maybe again after this one. But after that first one, that was a big moment for me, certainly, just kind of professionally having him on, and everything else felt validating in many ways. So it's been a fun couple of years. But again, this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. We ain't going anywhere. Snaps will continue.
If anyone wants to make a Snaps meme coin, because I think meme season is really about to pop off soon, you know,
Yes. Yes, please. Please. That's the actual direction we're taking the show. We're going to be a crypto show. That's going to be your bonus content.
No one really has like the sports memes, you know, so like we could be the first, just saying.
My favorite time is T-Bub talking about WoW. Well, we'll probably do some more like chill streams. I'm even though I've cooled a bit on my World of Warcraft season discovery right now, I can feel my hobbies always interchange. I was talking to my wife last night. I think your boy's about to start building and painting some more miniatures. I can't wait. Go make some Bretonian army. I got a big box just waiting to be put together at home. But yeah, man. And look, I really cannot thank Pat Gunther, Chris Tran, Danny Cardenas, Ryan Brumley, Adam Gracia, Christian Hunter. Just the entire team at Volume has been so fantastic over this last couple of years. And like I said, life-changing in so many different ways. I mean, I got an agent because of this show. I never had an agent before. Mm-hmm. And now I suddenly have somebody out there who's like advocating for me and helping create me opportunity. Abba says, T-Bob, we're about to start a new D&D campaign. What class should I play? I've been Ranger, Rogue, and Druid. I said it yesterday. I tend to lean towards magic users in Dungeons and Dragons, because especially if you like to play a very narrative version of the game, you could just do so much shit with spells as to really feel unlimited. And thank you for that, Aaron, as if you give a damn about what deity.
This is the great thing. Today of all days, when T-Bob goes on his rants, I'm just watching the Masters right now. So
yeah, so he's fine. I can talk forever.
And I'll just throw a couple mm-hmms in here as you know, people make butts and shit.
who's winning right now?
Who is up right now? I don't know who's up right now. I'm watching like hole 4, 5, and 6. So they haven't shown like a total score. I'm watching Fitzpatrick tee off. Maybe where I'm at for the next couple hours.
Not very healthy sounding.
My boy Tiger tees off. Let's go.
But yeah, thank you all so much. We love you. Okay, so ways you can help out the show, though, in the short term. Obviously, again, algorithm, right? Hit the like button. Mm-hmm. Share it with your friends. Anytime you have a high like to view ratio, that naturally pushes out the shows onto recommended channels. So like a lot of the people who watch Pate, when they get done with the video, YouTube will put our video in there afterwards because they know they're into college football. So that that certainly helps quite a bit. If you listen on pod, rating and reviewing always helps. That helps. It gets pushed out as well. And so there's just a couple of free ways that you can help out the boys here. And yes, one day I will get Aaron to do a Dungeons and Dragons one-off. We'll set it up. We'll get a dungeon master, get somebody else in here with us as well. I know part of my take actually has done the D&D thing, and I listened to the first time my friend the other day, and it's pretty damn good. It's just fun. It's just so much fun. Anybody can play D&D as well. All right, I think that's it. I think that's it. Thank you so much. We will see you Monday. And again, a massive thank you to the Volume. By Monday, I believe Snaps CFB is the plan on where you'll find it. But we'll continue to update you on Twitter and everything else. But we love you. Thank you for being a part of this. And we look forward to the future. We'll see you on Monday.
The Volume.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby!
Wait!
did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.